Alleluia, he is risen. He has indeed. In the precious name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, we come, we worship, we pray, we praise, and we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you, if you will, please, to turn to our text for this evening, a reading from Matthew chapter 28. If you didn't bring your Bibles, feel free to use one of the pew Bibles. And we know that we have many guests with us this evening, and we will tomorrow, too. If you're a guest of ours and you do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word as we do all throughout the week and through the days to come. The miracle of Easter. Simply said, and yet astoundingly profound. Simply said, and yet astoundingly miraculous, God has taken what was dead and given it life once again. That's the miracle of Easter. What was dead is alive. And that's completely unnatural, completely different than what we would expect and what our experience shows us. The dead are alive. When one of these flowers dies, there's nothing we can do to give it life. When an animal dies, it may be a pet at home. When it dies, there's nothing we can do to give it life. When a person dies, there's nothing we can do to give that person life again. But when God intervenes with a miracle, God can do what we cannot do. God gives life where there is death. He did for Jesus, and because he did it for Jesus, he will do it for you and me through faith in him. Some of you have been with us during this Lenten journey. During the journey of Lent, we have gone through the miracles of Good Friday. Let me remind you where we were yesterday on Good Friday. On Good Friday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. And from 9 o'clock in the morning till about noon, it was a busy day and much was happening in and around the cross. During that 3-hour period, Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." During that 3-hour time, Jesus looked from the cross down to see his mother Mary and his disciple John. And he said, "Mary, behold your son. John, behold your mother." He gave his mother into John's charge so that after his death, John would care for him as if she were his very own mother. During that time, too, there was bickering at the foot of the cross. Do you remember how the chief priests were angry because Pilate had put a sign above Jesus' head that said, "Jesus, the King of the Jews"? And they said, "Don't write King of the Jews. Say he said he was the King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." By this time, Pilate had had enough. And it was true. All of these things took place during that first 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. Where we have picked up the story at Holy Cross then is at noon. At noon, a sudden darkness, unexplained, a fearful darkness, came over that whole land, the Bible tells us. And when they did, there was a hush. Instead of the commotion, instead of the busyness we've just described, the people were afraid. And it was quiet. There was a hush over the scene for 3 hours. And then at the close of that 3 hours, Jesus gave up his spirit, his soul. He gave himself into his Father's hands, and Jesus died. That's when it was that the temple court curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. It was at that very moment that the earthquake trembled. and the earthquake caused everyone there to tremble. It was then that the rocks split open, testifying that something miraculous was taking place. At that moment, the tombs of those who were dead believers came open, and the dead were raised to life. In Jesus' death, it was the death of death, and death was swallowed up, and Jesus died so that these and others following them could have life. It was a miracle. And the Roman soldiers who stood around the cross, they beheld all that took place. They were participants in it. And they believed by the power of the Spirit. Surely he was the Son of God. These miracles took place. And then the scriptures are quiet, that on that holy Saturday, it was quiet. Everything was quiet. Many thought that that was the end, but God was allowing the silence to build, for the silence to build expectation and anticipation. And surely then we see what we heard Pastor read for us a moment ago, our text from this evening. If you've opened it up, read along silently as I read aloud. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, again a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Has that ever happened to you? I know it's happened to me. There's one example that I can think of in my life some 35 years ago when I was so frightened that literally I was unable to move. You see it on television, you think it's silly, but it really happened, and it happened to them. They fell down because of the angels, because of the earthquake, because of the sight, because of the miracle on that Easter morning, and they became like dead men. The women were afraid too, no doubt, because that's when they'd arrived to take care of Jesus' dead body. At least that's what they anticipated. And so the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place. Look, ladies, there's evidence. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So what happened? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. These women were the first witnesses of the resurrection. They were the first witnesses of the miracle of Easter. What was dead was now alive, and that was Jesus. And because Jesus, who was dead, was now alive, we have a faith in which we can trust. We have a faith that brings us the forgiveness of sins. We have faith that gives us the assurance that one day when we die, we will be with him forever. He's the one who said, "Don't you know, I go to prepare a place for you, so that one day where I am, you will also be. Have faith in me." He's the one, and this is the faith that we proclaim so that all the world will see and know. That same Easter, later on in the afternoon, that same Easter day, Jesus was miraculously with two of his disciples as they were on the way to Emmaus. And as they talked, Jesus unfolded to them the scriptures, the Old Testament, so that they could see and understand that these things which happened to the Christ must happen. They had been foretold. And then later on that evening, he appeared to others who were gathered in Jerusalem. And he said to them, "You who are slow of heart and slow to understand, These things had to happen to the Christ so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, so that the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms would come to fruition, that Christ would die and be raised again for the redemption of the world, for the forgiveness of sins. Some 50 days later, the disciples and many others were gathered on what we now know as Pentecost. And Peter proclaimed the risen Christ in that place. And as he did, the Holy Spirit moved among them, and they spoke in languages they had never studied. They spoke the message of the gospel, so that those who could see and those who could hear from many lands and many places heard the proclamation of the gospel. The women had been sent out, the two Emmaus disciples, and now all of his disciples were sent out to carry the message that Christ was raised from the dead, that the dead do rise in his power and by his will, by his grace. Some 20 years later, the Apostle Paul penned these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you read together with me, please? For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. One of the greatest attested facts in history is the resurrection of Christ. In our text for tonight, in Matthew chapter 28, the women had come to the tomb, and there the angel messengers met them with the assurance that a miracle had taken place, the Easter miracle. The dead were alive. Look, here's the evidence. Where he was, he is no longer. Jesus is alive. They then went with great joy, mixed with fear, mixed with eagerness to be able to tell others who needed to know too. And their joy was contagious. Speaking of contagious joy, I'd like for you to watch and listen carefully to these children as they speak to us.
Was a happening place.
The holiday was called Passover.
Jesus came by donkey transport.
Hosanna was the password.
Palm branches were everywhere.
People called him king.
Days later, nothing was the same.
From grand entrance to final meal.
From the mat to the garden.
For his 37 coins.
Jesus was betrayed.
And Jesus was arrested.
It was just awful.
The high priest and the governor
interrogated Jesus.
The evidence wasn't to the truth.
And the whole thing was rigged.
Even the crowd turned
and chanted, "Crucified him."
Jesus was stripped.
Jesus was whipped.
Jesus was mocked.
Jesus was tortured.
A royal crown
of thorns.
Ouch! That hurt!
They hung him on a cross.
And it wasn't a pretty sight.
Jesus cried, "It is finished,"
and breathed his last.
They laid him in a tomb.
And they sealed it with a very big rock.
The tomb was full.
After the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb.
Nothing had prepared them
for the surprise that waited.
The tomb was empty!
The angel said
to the women, "Don't be afraid.
He's not here.
He is risen.
Check it out yourself.
Now go tell everyone
this great news.
It's still good news today.
That tomb is still empty.
And Jesus still lives.
And that's the only hope
for you and me.
In this crazy world that we live in,
it's not complicated, really.
We have a Savior.
Jesus Messiah.
He died for us.
When I survived,
he was for us.
From the grave,
what Easter is all about.
Go tell everyone this great news. That tomb is still empty.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Trembling over death by dead. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
The children, they know the message too. The women were called to let the world know, and they did. The children know that message, and they proclaim it to us and to all who are willing to listen. Later in the chapter, which is our text, Jesus says to those same disciples, and he says to us, go and make disciples of all the world, baptizing and teaching everything that I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. The women knew, and they told. The children know, and they tell. Will you? I pray you will, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the miracle of Easter. That which is dead is alive. It was true for Jesus, and it will be true because of faith in him for us too. Amen.